Here, and we're going to jump right in today with our main child welfare quarterly update. And we'll start off today with the Child Welfare Ombudsman, Christine Albieri.
So good afternoon, Senator Ingwersen, Representative Meyer, and members of the Health and Human Services Committee. Thank you for having me here today. My name is Christine Albieri, and I'm the Child Welfare Ombudsman for Maine. I'm here today to present the 2024 Child Welfare Ombudsman's annual report, but I'm also, as always, happy to answer any other questions about how the Ombudsman's office works, about, you know, my background and just the history of anything that's happened up until this point. This year, we have found that analysis of case-specific reviews has continued to show significant struggles in child welfare practice, especially during initial investigations and reunification of families, negatively impacting child safety. Fortunately, this year has also featured a reset of the relationship between the department and the ombudsman, featuring an increase in collaboration and cooperation between our two offices. The department has implemented a number of structural changes in upper management and added important positions to the districts. Work continues to effectively implement safety science, and policy work is ongoing. The department has been receptive to recommendations from stakeholders and staff and has a clear idea what policy and practice issues need to be addressed. The work of improvement is difficult and will not happen overnight, but currently appears to be started on the right path. Unfortunately, child welfare staff continues to operate under enormous pressure. The systems that surround child welfare are currently unable to support children and families in the way that they should. Most urgently, finding a safe place for children who are unsafe with parents is an unsustainable drain on staff resources. Child welfare staff spend days and nights in hotels and hospital emergency rooms with children in state custody. This immediate need takes staff away from crucial casework, either casework to investigate new complaints of child abuse and neglect, or casework to provide good faith reunification services to families. Additionally, mental health and behavioral health resources, especially the more intensive resources, are not readily available to help children who have already experienced significant trauma. This can cause placement disruption and lack of support to kinship placements and foster parents. Also, a shortage of professional visit supervisors causes hardship to families with children in state custody and takes case aides and caseworkers away from other important work. Staff time is also eaten away by the demands of the new child welfare database, Katahdin. Despite ongoing fixes and enhancements, the system is still inefficient both when reviewing a family's history and when entering information. Finally, the shortage of defense attorneys for parents has caused weeks and months-long delays in the progress of reunification cases, harming children, parents, and increasing staff workload. There are other pressures on staff as well, but lack of mental health and behavioral health resources for children, lack of professional visit supervisors, ongoing issues with Katahdin, and a significant shortage of defense attorneys are having the most significant impact on the department's ability to improve casework practice. In order to improve child welfare practice, which is what this report primarily focuses on, staff need time to learn and plan and to help families prevent future child abuse and neglect. Finally, I would like to draw your attention to page 15 of this report, the positive findings section. I'm going to read aloud one of my favorites taken verbatim from one of our case-specific reviews. Quote, "This case is a stellar example of thorough, supportive, detailed, and thoughtful permanency work by the caseworker. The caseworker regularly attended family recovery court with the parent and kept in touch with all providers, checking in regularly before family team meetings. The parents were met with in their home, face-to-face when possible, and the caseworker went over concerns clearly and frequently throughout the case. A petition to terminate rights was filed less than a year into the case, but the caseworker had developed such a good relationship with the parents that they did not give up on reunification." And I'd like to include the positive findings for a number of reasons, but I think we all hear so many dire things in the media about how rough things have gotten for child welfare. It's just important to remember there's still a lot of really incredible professionals doing really hard work every day with families. And then if I may, there are just two things I wanted to add. One, I was on a committee sorry, not a committee, a stakeholder group that was part of LD 2009, which is a resolve that was passed last year to address the issue of children and adolescents in emergency rooms, long stays in emergency rooms, and other issues as well. And I just want to say that I look forward to that report coming out, and I want to emphasize how important the work that that group did was. It's not my usual area of expertise, but it was clear, you know, there was a lot of hard work that went into it. And I look forward to when the report comes out, which I believe will be to this committee. And secondly, I know there has been a lot of concern about the number of children in state custody rising. And as many of us here were in a meeting this morning with the judicial branch, and one thing I just want to emphasize, well, for one thing, and Director Johnson can address this herself as well, but she did note that 100, the number of kids in state custody has decreased by 140 since September. And the other thing is, there are, you know, kids enter state custody, but they also exit state custody. And if you look at the judicial, the notes from our regular judicial task force meetings that I was, again, the group that I was in this morning, the judicial branch reports on the number of new filings each year. And those have gone down steadily since 2019, including between last year, where there were 923 new filings, and this year when there were 848 new filings. So again, it's worth looking at the kids we're taking into custody, obviously. Are we taking in too many, too few, about the right amount? Are we doing it quickly enough? But it's also worth looking at what is preventing kids from leaving state custody, whether hopefully to reunification or adoption or some other form of permanency. So anyway, I just wanted to, those two things have sort of been on my mind today, and I just wanted to give you an update on those as well. So again, I'm happy to, I know it's a complicated report and there's a lot that goes into this, so I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Alberi.